This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and maybe you have been experiencing the winter blues. We're in the grip of some of the coldest days of winter, but my next guests say the antidote might be to actually get outside and embrace it. According to some experts, even just 15 to 20 minutes of direct sunlight a few times a week can provide you with enough vitamin D to help keep the winter blues at bay. With short days and Arctic temperatures, though, it can be hard to find the motivation to brave the cold, let alone embrace the polar vortex. So we've got a few ideas. Joining us now to share some ways to get outside this winter are Erica Zazo, a freelance outdoor and travel writer, frequent contributor to Backpacker Magazine, Group Tour Magazine, and more. She's also the Chicago chapter lead of Mappy Hour, a meetup group for people who live in the city and love the outdoors. Hello, Erica. Welcome back to the 21st.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
And we also have with us Lauren Williamson, senior editor for Chicago Magazine, who recently published a Get Outside winter issue full of ideas for winter activities. Hello, Lauren. Glad to have you on the show today.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation. What is your favorite winter activity? Do you have a favorite spot in Illinois, maybe for ice fishing, winter hiking? You can share your favorite winter outdoor activity by calling us now at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. Lauren, I want to begin with you. Chicago Magazine has a lot of ideas, as I said, in the Get Outside edition. You wrote a piece, though, on how to develop an appreciation for dead grass, which, of course, Illinois has a lot of in the winter. I want you to talk about this shift in perspective. Convince me to appreciate dead grass, if you will, please.
All right, I'll do my best. So this was a discovery that I made as we were starting to conceive this feature. And it's about Lurie Garden, which is part of Millennium Park. And it's something that all of us have probably walked by a million times as we're downtown Chicago in the Loop. But it was designed specifically to be beautiful in all four seasons. The Dutch garden designer behind it, Pete Udoff, has this perception that all grass can be beautiful, all plants can be beautiful if you just look at them the right way, depending on the season. And he has this really beautiful quote, "Brown is also a color." And so he looks at the tapestry of textures and colors that all of these plants make together when they are going through the winter, once they've all dried out, whether it's grasses or coneflower seeds, and how they swish in the breeze and how the shadows look on the snow, how the snow gathers on top of them. And one of my favorite little facts about the garden is that if you look at it from across the street on Monroe in front of the modern wing of the Art Institute, it was designed to look like a painting in flowers, even in the middle of winter with all those different shades of brown. So I think so much of what we have to do this winter is reshape our perspectives and how we can see the city in a new way and see the outdoors in a new way to try to get through this really grim time.
Yeah. And for those of us downstate, there are certainly plenty of natural landscapes that offer plenty of varieties of shades of brown, tall grasses and otherwise to take in. I was hiking outside Springfield myself this past weekend, and there was a lot of gently falling snow on switchgrass and the rest. Eric, I want to bring you in. I always like asking you for the insider scoop. What trips do you have planned this winter?
Yeah, for sure. You know, in a couple of weeks here, I'm going out to Hocking Hills, Ohio. It's a popular hiking spot for both folks who live in the city and who live in rural Ohio to check out all of the rock formations throughout the Hocking Hills area. There's a new set of tiny homes that just opened up called the Hocking Hills Tiny Homes, and it's within walking distance to the park and a number of places in that beautiful area. So I'll do some hiking in the wintertime at Hocking Hills and also check out a couple of smaller trails, or I guess lesser traveled trails. My two favorite are Chapel Cave and 21 Horses Cave Trail, just, you know, 10 minutes or so from the main state park.
Tiny home. So if you wanted to experience the HGTV series without the commitment of fully minimizing your lifestyle, you can rent one, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. The cool thing too is they're outfitted with Wi-Fi, so I'll probably bring my laptop and do some working from home on that Friday, and then hit the trails over the weekend.
Nice. I see you also invested in a pair of snowshoes this winter and have been getting out on some snowy days. For people who haven't done that before, what should they know? Where should they go?
Yeah, snowshoes are a commitment if you're looking to buy another outdoor piece of gear, but also come really in handy when we have this giant snowstorm that came through the Midwest. So I do have a pair of beginner snowshoes. They're called EVA foam snowshoes. They're made by Crescent Moon, and they're really great because they're lightweight and they're not metal. So I can just easily either strap them to my backpack or throw them in my trunk and just easily Velcro them around my boot. I also recommend maybe looking into some cleats, or they're also called crampons. They're a metal kind of cage device that just wraps around your shoe, best for icy conditions. So even if you don't want to invest in a giant pair of snowshoes, it's helpful and it's safe to get some sort of strong traction under your feet when we're hiking in the snow.
Yeah, not just for mountaineering in the Alps. You can also use crampons for getting around the icy streets of Illinois, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lauren, you, speaking of winter sports, you spoke with some winter Olympians and got tips on sledding and ice skating. What can you share?
Sure. Yeah. One of my favorites from this section was talking to the bobsledder Asia Evans, who is such a star. And I thought she would think I was so silly to ask her for amateur sledding tips, but she just lit up talking about it because she has sled her entire life, and it's a cherished memory with her mom and sister. And so they would go to the Dan Ryan Woods in the Chicago area, or even to Grant Park in Chicago, and experiment with all different types of tubs and pots and things like that. And eventually they settled on, yeah, we got to get a real sled here. And they would experiment with how many people were on the sled, with how fast it would go. And then she had some very specific tips to help people go a little bit faster themselves. And she said that light, fluffy snow, like we've got coming down today in the Chicago area, it's not actually the best snow for sledding. So you need to prepare your track a little bit, if you will. You need to go down in the same spot several times to help pack that snow down so that it goes from light and fluffy to something that's more condensed and hard and icy. And that's what will really help you zoom down the hill. And then she also gave some advice on how to take on a bobsledder posture in your sled to just get real low in there, get your arms and legs in there so they're not kind of all over the place as you're trying to go down the hill, and try to balance as much as you can too. So you're this compact little person in the middle of your sled, and that's what's really going to help you shoot down that hill.
So you can break
Then
that
another.
saucer sled record by Clark W. Griswold Jr. You really want to ice that slope, I guess, to get down there at full
Exactly.
speed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. I was just going to go to the next one. Brian Hansen, who is a speed skater, also gave some really amazing tips. He, now that he's not competing anymore, he is now a hobbyist skating outdoors. And so he skates on ponds and lagoons all across northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin. And he's even gone out onto Lake Michigan a few times. And he takes a few more risks than probably the average person would want to. He's taken a paddleboard out to ice floes in the middle of Lake Michigan and then gone skating on these floating icebergs. But for the average person who isn't quite ready to take so
Yeah,
many
wow.
chances, he recommends waiting until the ice is about 4 inches thick or greater, and you can take a little tool to measure it, something that will let you poke through that ice and make sure that it will support you. Bring a friend with you, of course, because if you do run into trouble, you don't want to be by yourself. And then he also recommends bringing some awls with you, which are tools that have these little hooks on them. So if you do happen to fall in, fingers crossed you don't, but if you do, then these will help you hook on and get yourself out of the water.
My goodness. I would also say have your friend dial 911 and stand by if you're going to be trying to ice skate on a Lake Michigan glacier. Okay. Or iceberg.
That too.
Yeah. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. We're talking about outdoor winter activities. My guests are Lauren Williamson, senior editor for Chicago Magazine, and Erica Zazo, who's a freelance outdoor and travel writer. Erica, we recently did a segment on the 21st on the Danish concept of hygge, and you recently wrote a blog for Osprey Backpacks on how and where to get your hygge sort of experience in the Midwest during winter. Do you have some hygge tips?
For sure. I love hygge myself, just be that idea of being cozy in the wintertime, feeling calm and comfortable, even though it's freezing out. You know, ironically, one way the Finnish folks practice hygge is actually jumping into ice water and then running to a hot spot like a sauna or a bathtub to rejuvenate and feel revived from that intense transition from cold to hot. It actually really helps relax your body. And I got a chance to do this up in the Lake Superior up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And while I didn't have a hot sauna to run back to, I sprinted back over the snow from Lake Superior back to the hot shower in the cabin. So definitely recommend trying that and then wrapping up with a blanket after and just relaxing.
Yeah, a bracing polar plunge. Lauren, our time is running short, but there was another piece in Chicago Magazine's Get Outside package encouraging people to do that classic Illinois winter activity of bald eagle watching. What are some good places to see that?
Sure. Yeah. The best place to go is Lost Mound National Wildlife Refuge, which is near Galena out in Davies County. And there you can see as 500 eagles out there, which I just can't even imagine seeing that many in one spot. It sounds so incredible. But Illinois is the best place outside of Alaska to see bald eagles in winter. There are some 3,000 that overwinter here. And anywhere that there is water that hasn't completely frozen over, and especially if it's near a dam or a lock or somewhere where it gets really churned up and it kind of stuns the fish, that's going to be a good place to look for the bald eagles because that's where they go to grab their lunch. And so along the Fox River is another great place to go, a little bit closer to the Chicago metro area if you're around here. The South Elgin Dam is a good spot where you can see maybe 25 to 50 at any given time. And I was out in the Fox River area just a week or so ago with my son at a farm. And sure enough, just some bald eagles started flying overhead while we were just at this farm. So they're all over the place out there. And there's a good chance you'll spot some if you go on a chilly winter day like this.
Amazing. Amazing. All right, Erica, less than a minute left. But I want to ask you before we go about the ice ball phenomena along Lake Michigan's coast. Where can we see that?
Yeah, right now it's happening both on a lot of the shoreline in Chicago here at some of the beaches right north of the city. You can also see them at Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore. And that's when chunks of ice break off and get rolled on the shoreline and the sand and turn into these giant boulders. So really cool to see and definitely recommend heading to a beach and trying to spot them.
Yeah, like a giant boba tea in the lake, I guess, is what I've heard that described as by one of our producers.
Great analogy.
Yeah. All right. We're going to have to leave it there. I hope you have found some inspiration for getting outside, embracing the cold. Maybe you will grow an appreciation for dead grass this winter. My guests have been Erica Zazo, who's a freelance outdoor and travel writer, and Lauren Williamson, senior editor at Chicago Magazine. Thank you both for being with me today on the 21st.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for today. Before we go, I do want to once again welcome our new listeners in the Quad Cities on WVIK. You should join our texting group. It's called Text the 21st. We only text usually about once a week, maybe twice, not that often. And we get interesting things. We hear interesting things from our listeners. It does inform our coverage. We use the texts in the show sometimes. You can join that by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, just text the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. 803-0730. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.